Man, there was so much to cover about UGA. We're doing a second episode. So with so much going on, from NIL to the championship to sponsorship, it's just so much. So we got another expert, John Staton, who's going to talk about some of these things. A million acronyms, a million ways to say it. What does NIL mean? I don't think anyone really knows. That's what we're going to cover in this episode today on the Marketing Mad Men.
They say marketing is a madman's game. So now we turn it over to the Marketing Madman with Nick Constantino and Trip Job.
Happy Saturday. Welcome to the Marketing Madman. Trip Job and Nick Constantino here. And, you know, last week, Nick, we were talking about Georgia, you know, the Bulldogs, and really from, you know, somewhat a marketing, but more of a strategy perspective and a business perspective. And I think we've got, you know, there's a lot of interest and a lot of momentum there. So let's kind of keep the ball rolling around sports, because there is some tie into sports marketing and businesses and how you can help grow your business in a lot of different ways. So let's have part two today and use kind of college football, the changing landscape of college football. Maybe we'll get into some things with recruiting and everything else today. So I think it's a good way to kind of segue into how do you can do new things for your business, much like the way sports is doing today.
Yeah, honestly, and before we get started, I want to give credit to Mr. Hudson Mason, because I thought he was really good and he was really insightful, and that was completely impromptu. He had no plan on being here. He didn't know what we were going to be talking about. We kind of put him on the spot. I'm thrilled that we got to talk about Mark Richt again with the you know, his entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame. We were lucky enough. We're going to have him for a speaking engagement coming up in March. You know, but Hudson was really good. He drew correlations to business that kind of I was really happy to see.
Absolutely.
So he did a really good job.
No, it was great. And like you said, it gave that idea that sometimes you've got a great program, you know, or a good program, and then you want to make it exceptional.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of really where businesses lie that way, too.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, what would a Marketing Madman show be without a special guest? So before I introduce John, you know, one of the things that has really been coming up a lot is the NIL space, name, image, and likeness. It's been 3-4 years now since the laws have changed and allowed this, and it has been a whirlwind of change very quickly. So we're going to cover a lot about that, and we're going to go into just specifically, you know, how the University of Georgia handles it, how it has changed. I call we're in Generation 2 now, where the schools are more involved, and the players are starting to be spread out across more sports, male, female, you know, and we're curious to see what Gen 3 and Gen 4 are going to look like, because I think it's going to continue to change. But with that being said, I do want to introduce John Staton. John was a player on the 2001 to 2021 championship under Mr. Kirby Smart.
Just to be clear, he did not play at Georgia for 20 years.
Did I say
2001 to 21. So it was 2020 to 2021. So,
I was a fifth-year senior, but nothing.
He is almost older than Stetson Bennett somehow. It's unbelievable how he pulled that off. And he's older than Kirby Smart also, which is unbelievable. But also works strategic partnerships for the Brander Group. We'll get into all that. But before we start talking about NIL, talk about Kirby, man. Talk about we talked about Richt and what he left. Talk about Kirby and what that little extra kick that he gave was to make this program what it is.
Well, first off, guys, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to come in today and talk a little bit about the Georgia Bulldogs and talk about name, image, and likeness. And before we get into it, love to say Coach Richt was a great coach, but an even better man. Congratulations to him and all his recent accomplishments with getting into the College Football Hall of Fame, etc. But Kirby Smart, man, what can you say about him? He's seemingly done everything possible to help support and grow and champion the Georgia football program over the last 6 years. Obviously coming off an absolute demolition of TCU, 65-7 in the second national championship in a row.
I think that's a kind way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a kind way to put it. What a great game. What a great year for them. Congratulations to the team this year. But Kirby Smart, I mean, I think the big difference is Kirby can say that he's done it. You go around the Georgia football building, you see his name on the wall, you see his picture on the wall. He was an incredible player, a team captain of the Georgia Bulldogs, a leader. I don't think a lot of people realize how impactful he was during his time in Athens as a player. He loves the University of Georgia, but Kirby Smart expects the highest standard from everybody in the building, from the person that cleans the locker room to the starting quarterback. He expects nothing less. He has a great relationship with everybody in the building, but demands excellence. Kirby is the type of guy that is, you know, consistently great. He never changes. He acts the same way every single day, and he commands the highest standard.
So, I mean, is it fair to say, though, there were high standards, but that Kirby really has a way of getting more out of people. Is that kind of his superpower, so to speak?
Yeah, I think Kirby, you know, certainly finds a way to maximize all the talent that he has. You don't see a lot of recruiting misses, but you also do see the development of players like a Stetson Bennett or like a Brock Bowers. From the time that he got in there, you know, people didn't necessarily know what to expect. And now Brock specifically is, you know, considered one of the best players in college football and is certainly going to be a draft pick in the first round after next year. But I mean, I think you can accredit that to the development of his players, but also his staff and also the people in the program. Mm-hmm. Everybody's pulling in the same direction. And if you're not, you're not going to be a part of the program anymore. So just he's just done a great job of continuing to build on Coach Rick's success. Yeah. But to really, you know, extract the most out of each and every person in this program is something really special. And also he has the recipe. Yeah. He knows what it takes during his time at Alabama. He knows what it takes from Nick Saban. The schedule is the same. The practices are the same, except Kirby.
The helicopter is a little different. I've seen that helicopter land in the middle of a field because he had to be more efficient. That was pretty cool to see it actually happen. Like, what are you going to say if you're a kid and you're deciding on schools? Like, Kirby just comes flying out of the sky in a helicopter, and like everyone clears a path and he lands in the middle of the field. What do you say? What do you say?
Well, he certainly knows how to make an entrance. But you know, back to the point is Nick Saban. You know, he built this system that works, that plays on any level in the BCS era, in the college football playoff era. And Kirby, he took that, he implemented it at Georgia, literally took the schedule and said, this is what we're going to do, and put his spin on it where he thought he needed to see improvement. And 3-4 years down the line, now you see Georgia Bulldogs being one play away from a national championship, and then back in the Rose Bowl, and back in the Sugar Bowl, and back in the Peach Bowl, and now we're back-to-back national champions, and it's not a surprise.
Let me ask you this question. So how many people have coached under Saban that have yet to even beat him, let alone get to that level of prominence? Why was Kirby able to get to that level of prominence when so many others have failed? And I think failed is not too strong of a word. I mean, in that sense, they couldn't even beat him, let alone get to that land of prominence. So what is it about Kirby? Why is he wired differently? What is it about as a leader? What is it about his discipline? What allowed him to do what so many and qualified coaches could not do before him?
Well, I think Kirby's a winner, number one, and he wasn't going to take no for an answer. He was going to do anything and everything, whether it was getting a better nutritionist, getting a higher budget, building a new facility, recruiting different players, figuring out how or what it is to get them over the edge. He was not going to sleep until he got it done, and I think that's why he got it done. Obviously, you know, being a Georgia Bulldog, you have a lot of resources and are, you know, able to bring in these recruits and implement his own system. But, you know, he wants to be the best to ever do it. He won't say that, but he wants to be the best to ever do it. And he wants to, I mean, at this point, who knows when they're going to lose next? I mean, they have built a machine that is rolling down the tracks right now, and I don't see, you know, any sign of slowing down.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to draw a quick parallel. You know, the last few weeks before we got on the Georgia football kick, we were talking about agencies. You know, we had Conker in, and you know, one of the things that you mentioned is he's been there, done that. And I see a lot of times, and the fact that he was able to raise them to a new level. When you think about businesses, whether it's marketing or it could be the sales organizations, you name it, sometimes, you know, I think business owners know that they need something to, you know, kick them in the butt a little bit.
Yep.
Take it to a new level.
Yeah.
But I see so much hiring of, oh, you know what? I'm going to go hire someone I think I can afford, and maybe they haven't been there. I'm not saying they're not talented. Don't get me wrong. Versus looking at agencies, you know, like some of the guys we talked with, and, you know, someone who's been there and done it. And I think that's a great example of, you know, he had the experience, he's done it. We've seen agencies come in that have done it and help businesses grow and go to the next level. But too many times, much like failed coaching hires, people want to get, well, maybe this is the next rising star, or this is what my budget allows.
Yeah, and look, you know, when you're trying to find in a position that we were trying to find, that Georgia was trying to find a coach for, there was a lot that could have went wrong. And you know, Hudson talked a lot about, you know, South Carolina forced Georgia's hand in getting Kirby. And who knows if that would have happened if it wasn't for South Carolina. So, you know, we couldn't predict the future. They made the right bet, and they're positioned to ride it for a very long, very, very long time, which is something I'm very excited for. You know, and just the business around the school is booming. You know, I consider Athens, just because of the duration, it's Atlanta, man. I mean, you're not driving. You know, I come from New York. There's suburbs of New York that are 3 hours outside of the city that are still suburbs. Getting to Athens in 45 minutes, you're talking Atlanta. So, you know, know, the prominence and the build of this city and what Atlanta and Georgia have been able to accomplish, not shutting down during COVID, all these things led to a perfect storm where Kirby was handed the keys to one of the absolute best properties on earth to grow. And I think when you look back in history, it is that perfect storm that allowed this situation to present itself.
Yeah.
John, I do have a question, and we brought this up with Hudson. One of the things I found fascinating was in the middle of the national championship at halftime, you know, I don't think any of those guys knew what to talk about because it wasn't even a game. Like, TCU forgot to show up.
Yeah.
But he said Kirby finds a way to manipulate his guys, and he said it on a live broadcast. And I the negative connotation of the word manipulate, I think he probably was regretful of his choice of words. But talk about that the connection he has as a player, as a transfer student. Talk about, in the short time you were with him, how he made you be your best, because that's something that bosses and CEOs all strive to do.
Yeah, well, I think connection is a great word. That's been one of our team words for the last 2 years. They're very big about connection. They're very big about building and creating authentic relationships between staff, between players, between support staff. But he always wants more. I think that's a short answer to a long question. He always wants more. He's never happy.
So is it a lead by example thing? Because he's always giving more, you feel obliged.
It's absolutely a lead by example thing. Kirby is... He will not ask of a player to do something that he hasn't done himself or won't do as a coach. He always demands more. He always leads by example, and I think that's, you know, the reason why you've seen a lot of success.
I completely envision him getting on the field, putting on a helmet, and going to show a cornerback how to tackle a running back. Like, you didn't do it right. Let me show you how to do it. And I envision him putting the helmet on, getting on the field, no pads, and just trying to clock a 220-pound running back.
Well, the other thing is, I don't ever remember Georgia ever getting a 12 men on the field penalty because someone loafed off the field. And you see Kirby, when he's, whether it's a timeout or he wants to, you know, light up the referee, he's sprinting down the sideline. And I guess that's probably the lead by example, because, you know, you see a lot of these teams where guys are loafing off and then they get the flag.
Yeah, well, you can always guarantee that Kirby Smart's going to do his job, especially as a coach on the field during the game on Saturdays. But I think a great example of that is when Chris Smith returned the blocked field goal for a touchdown against LSU in the SEC championship game. Yeah. They go over those scenarios every week, starting from day one of preseason until the SEC championship game, whether it's that scenario or a different one. They go over all these scenarios.
And that's usually one block. That's usually broken because one guy got a block from across the field. It might happen once a year.
It might happen once every 5 years. But they're ready and they've seen it and they know how to do. Right. You know, and they know what to do when the situation arises. So that's a different factor that helps them extract the most out of their players and get to that championship.
Well, we're gonna keep talking Georgia and Georgia football with John Stanton of the 2021 championship football team. You're currently listening to the Marketing Madmen on Extra 106.3. We'll be right back.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome back to the Marketing Mad Men. Trip Job and Nick Constantino here with John Staton of the Georgia Bulldogs. 2020-2021 national title team. And we're talking a lot about, what Kirby Smart did for the program, you know, how he really helped raise expectations, but you know, also how he raised probably the performance and your own stature of all the players. I mean, you made a comment, John, that you know, he just made a connection with each of you and you felt like he was there with you. I mean, is there a certain story of that connection with you that you remember?
Well, I mean, you know, not to bring up unfortunate events, but obviously after the tragic accident and the loss of one of our teammates and Chandler, who is on the staff, recruiting staff as well, you know, we had the funeral on Saturday, and just to see the mass of former players and teammates and staffers that were there to celebrate the life of Dev was, you know, something that exemplified that connection that we had built over a year ago. It had been a whole year, a whole new season, a whole new battle. Right. And to see the amount of people that were there to support and to feel the sense of family and connection there was really, really special for me.
Wow. No, I think, and you hate to hear obviously the reason for it, but the stories of family and connection and closeness that he's developed. So, I mean, I think that's, again, that's a wonderful example for whether you're in sports or whether you're in business or nowadays, and I know Nick kind of wants to get into the whole NIL,
yeah.
Sports and business and athletics are all coming together.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point. You know, one of the things about these coaches is, are they preparing you to be in the NFL, right? And that was the gauge of value, is if you're prepared for the NFL, you have those big lucrative contracts. I mean, you're coming out of Bama and now Georgia, and you're pretty much predisposed to be a starter automatically, yeah. Which means, you know, you're playing. Now, the careers are short, don't get it wrong, but still, you're going to be making more money than most of the other teams players drafted out of other teams. But that's changed a little bit. NIL has changed that, because now the ability to make money and the ability to earn financial compensation for your likeness has now been legalized. So let's talk a little bit about that, because that's kind of the nuts and bolts of this episode and how this fits in with marketing. So John, we know the Brander Group guys. You and Lee have been great, and I've gotten to know the space and how you guys play in it. But why don't you introduce the Brander Group, talk about what brought you into that space, and that will set us up to talk about NIL and some of the misconceptions and some of the things people have done wrong and right.
Yeah, so the Brander Group, we're headquartered in Ponte Vedra, Florida. We are a group licensing conduit between student athletes, brands, and universities. So we're able to leverage the marks and logos of these universities with our group licensing agreements with the universities to activate with brands.
And let's talk, wait a second, about how important that is, because it don't want to be lost on people.
Right.
To activate the logos of the university in Georgia and the schools, and real quick, rattle off a couple of schools, the big ones that you guys could carry the marks to.
Yeah, we're at the majority of the Power Five schools. So Georgia Tech here in this market, Alabama, Auburn, Texas.
Okay, we've named enough. That intellectual property in itself, to negotiate those sort of deals and be trusted with those brand, I cannot state enough how important that intellectual property is, and I believe it was one of the missing pieces from the initial stage of NIL, and it's one of the missing pieces that when people want to get into sports marketing, they don't understand
right.
that intellectual property at all, and it is a messy
having
game.
Worked for Kimberly-Clark for years, look, I pulled a lot of competitors ads and things off the air, off print, off webs, because we had the rights to that intellectual property, whether it was trademarks or other things. And if you, obviously all these schools protect, the NCAA protects those marks. So if you don't have it, trust me, you think you're going to get away with it. You're not.
We should start saying trademark pending after the Marketing Mad Men, because that paperwork is in right now.
Yeah.
God knows how long it'll take, but we should start saying that. Just to Marketing Mad Men, trademark pending. All right, so we completely cut John off. So go on. I just wanted to, that's why you are different. You are the only group in the country that has those licenses with those schools that are allowed to use those marks and use that intellectual property, correct?
Correct. So we're the only group in the country that is able to do that, and I think that speaks, you know, is a great testament to the type of people we have in our organization, starting from the top down with our CEO, Wesley Haynes. He's been in the sports business world for the better part of 40 years and has had some credible experiences that led, you know, to us being able to start at North Carolina and start at Ohio State right when NIL started. And sure. for them to trust us with their marks and logos speaks volumes to our group. And we're growing fast. When I was, you know, when I started, we had, I think, 35 people. And now we're close to 50. You know, we have, number one, we're growing in properties. Schools have seen the success we're having across the country and want to be a part of it and want to have us come, you know, sell not only active rights with the marks and logos, but also passive. We have people, specifically quarterbacks, that are making tens of thousands of dollars a month on jersey sales, on revenue, Sorry.
You're good.
Hey, real fast, before we pick it back up, am I allowed to talk about NCAA football, the game? Can I talk about you guys managing those rights, or is that too?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Yeah.
Let me just bring it up. You can go whatever you want to.
Yeah.
All right, pick it back up.
Yeah, so we have quarterbacks across the country that are making tens of thousands of dollars on jersey sales passively every month, just on royalties that we're able to give them with our group rights structure. But also to Nick's point, we're able to work with brands in local markets and national markets on an active base, signing deals to do appearances, to do social media campaigns, to promote the brand. And one of the things that we were talking about earlier that I don't think people fully understand is NIL is just like any normal form of marketing, right? You have to be innovative. Right. Brands have seemed skeptical to jump in and put their name associated with college athletes, where, in my opinion, from somebody that has not only played college football, but has been on the NIL way from the ground up, from day one as a player to now working in sports business, I think this is the best thing you can do.
Well, absolutely. And, a lot of people hear that the quarterbacks and not only the tens of thousands, they hear some of the stories out there. And we don't need to get into that. But, for the business owners out there, maybe the marketing leaders, there are creative ways they can do it. And our good friend Bruce Scala at Hooters, I thought that was one of the most brilliant ones, where they, I don't know how many it's end up to now, but they signed the offensive lineman. As part of the Hooters team.
Yeah, and the guys that don't get all the praise, like the star, the position players.
Right, and who knows how much they got, but it's not as much as Stetson and some of the other, big name quarterbacks. But I gotta believe there's creative ways like that, depending on your business, that businesses can work with you and others and help these student athletes that otherwise don't have the opportunity.
Look, the demand's already there. You're talking about a quarterback selling jerseys. He's not putting them in the back of his car to sell them. The demand already exists. They just happen to have his name on him, and he's making money off it for the first time. Yeah. That's like a really important part here, right? Like, this guy's not stopping in the middle of practice and going to the freeway and a red light starting to give out his shirts to sell them. Like, there are people actively seeking that jersey, which means the demand was already there.
Right.
He's just capitalizing on money that was already being given because of his likeness.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. But the cool thing that I'd like to point out is while Stetson might be the leadoff batter, the nine hole, the second leadoff would be the woman's gymnast at Georgia, who is giving these companies an incredible amount of return due to their specific market and their specific reach that they have with their following on social media, the people that believe in them, the people that have helped them get there. And they're seeing exponential returns. Yeah. In many cases, we're seeing companies look at these student athletes like they're influencers. And in the influencer marketplace, we're seeing the athletes get 3 to 6x return to a typical influencer.
And that's Gen 2. That's what I was talking about with Gen 2. I think Gen 1 was, the DJ at Clemson and Rattler and some of the guys that got really big deals that didn't even end up playing. And they were throwing millions at nothing because that was Gen 1. I think that's what I mean when I say this is Generation 2 now, where, one, the schools are involved because the star players don't need the money. The star players are the ones that people are actively seeking. But what about the offensive linemen or the special teams players
or the other
basketball
sports,
players, or the women's gymnasts, or the women's volleyball players.
Yeah.
Once you start bringing those in, then I think makes a little bit more sense for the schools, but it also makes more sense for the advertisers because now, why is a small law firm talking about this big Georgia? It doesn't make sense sometimes. So now all of a sudden, you show your support for the school. One, I think that the engagement level of some of the women's sports social media is higher to begin with. So now you're adding in multiple layers to a marketing campaign as opposed to basing it on just that name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I think, the thing that I'd like to point out is while, yes, we do outward-facingly see 1 to 5 athletes that are the premier athletes of these universities, whether they're a golfer or a football player or a baseball player, but we work for all 500 athletes in these athletic departments.
Right.
From number 500 all the way up to number 1, we provide true value to them, and we're able to, help them grow their brand and help them leverage the new rules and legislations of NIL to maximize their earning potential. And that's what I, that's the fun that I see in it as a former athlete, as somebody that started at Samford University as a walk-on and didn't have any scholarship offers, then was able to go to Georgia and able to win a national championship and able to get involved in NIL. That's the beauty of the story. You see athletes giving back. You see athletes sending money back home. I'm so tired of these misconceptions that NIL is a bad thing because these student athletes, they are true, they are genuine people, and they are able to extract the most out of their brand, the most out of their NIL to do good for the world. And that's what, one of the things I'd like to highlight.
That's cool. And, we do spend a lot of time talking about the quarterbacks and the star players. Can you talk an example? Obviously, we don't need to get into the details of the contract, but just, for businesses out there, can you talk women's sports and maybe an example or two of the type of businesses that maybe you're working with that has aligned with, whether it's a gymnast or a volleyball player or a soccer player or whatever, because I know those deals exist. How do they come about? What are the type of things that are being done?
Yeah, so I think a cool one that's super relevant right now would be the deal we did with Taco Bell over the holiday season. We were able to send athletes that were participating in these Taco Bell games, the Taco Bell student section, the Live Moss student section, yeah, at the college football playoff, at the Fiesta Bowl, at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and then at the national championship. These students from Michigan, TCU, and Georgia, we were able to send them to the game. So female athletes from volleyball, from soccer, from softball, from basketball, to the Fiesta Bowl, to the Peach Bowl, to the national championship game to support their teams and be an active participant in the Taco Bell Live Moss student section. And while they're there, obviously they're able to capitalize on the activation piece of it on social media. Right. We saw incredible returns from these ladies. But just to, you know, see a brand as prominent in the marketing space as Taco Bell, especially, you know, in college football with the Live Moss student section, which we've seen for a number of years, to realize that they're able to you know, be innovative, yeah, and use what they have already built and what people know to activate with student athletes, and not only activate, but give them these really cool and genuine experiences of being able to go to these games, being able to be involved, yeah, in the school's culture with the fans. I think it's a really big statement.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. And I think Taco Bell is one of those brands that have always tried to be innovative and push that. So it's great to see them do it. And I think it's also funny when you think about it, you know, like you never think of girls scarfing down Taco Bell. So drawing that correlation, and, yeah, and I think it works on so many levels.
Right.
Now, I've never seen a girl turn it away when I'm with her that says, no, I don't want that. But, you know, I think that's great. I want to go back to something you said previously, because I I'm with you. Anything in the realm of sports, I think the positives greatly outweigh the negatives. I think it brings people out of poverty. I think it provides a way for people to get off the streets. I think it provides people a way to get educations and learn discipline and commitment. I am the biggest advocate on earth. But I also know the reality that there's also lots of bad players all the time. Yep. And as someone who's dealt with some of those bad players, you know, signing a deal with a kid and taking 40% of it and putting it in your pocket as one of these big agencies or playing games similar to what you do with the professional athletes, I think that any time there's a new space, that their bad actors come out. So talk about, talk about the Brander Group. Talk about what you're doing to relieve some of those perceptions. And then talk about why you think that negative connotation exists. Because honestly, it exists for a reason. No one just is like, oh, poo-poo, this is bad. Talk about that a little bit. Because again, I've had my own experiences that have not always been positive.
Yeah, so with the Brander Group, you know, while NIL is only in, you know, its infancy in year two, we've been working in NIL with professional leagues, professional players associations for the last 12 years.
Yeah.
We have the playbook from what professionals mm-hmm. were able to do, and now we're implementing it into our services with NIL at the collegiate level. We are a full service shop. So once you sign the contract, once we were able to have an agreement in place with a brand or a school, we handle everything else. We ensure the compliance from the athletes. We ensure the compliance from the university side using the marks and logos. We ensure the activation. We ensure the payments. So that's, you know, one of the things that I believe truly sets us apart is, you know, once you activate in this space and once you give us the green light to do it, we handle everything from start to finish. A lot of people can't say that. And the great thing is we work for the athletes. While we have these licenses with the universities, we truly work for the student athletes, which in many cases, you know, is not the same. And you see people and agents and groups taking cuts from the student athletes that are exponentially higher than anything right. they should be. We don't do that. We ensure fair market value. That's our prop right. right there. Fair market value for student athletes across the country. That's what we live by. You look at any of our deals, you talk to any of our partners, that's what we've done.
Well, and it's turnkey. So, you know, and like we talked before, you're not going to have the issue of, oh, did someone make sure they had the license, they had the marks, et cetera. And so compared to, you know, all the things that you get worked into if someone, you know, doesn't have that figured out, you know, and then it scuttles the deal. It's the bad actors that Nick was talking about. So I think that's incredibly important.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of companies that, you know, one of the things I think actually really hurt was I feel like the NIL space came right around during the NFT craze, and that was a scam. And I think that drawing that correlation also really hurts. And I also think anytime you have an acronym, people just don't know what the hell you're talking about. Yeah. So, you know, as this pushes, as we push boundaries, Talk a little bit about what the next couple of years are going to look like, because there you've seen monumental change. So, you know, one of the things I'm most excited about, and we might be breaking news on the Marketing Madmen here, but, you know, NCAA football is coming back on PlayStation and Xbox. And I have very fond memories. And again, what people don't understand is NCAA football was one of the best gateways to the Yankees like me, who knew nothing about college football, to understand the game. And the disappearance of that since 2014, I will guarantee it will correlate with some ratings points, especially in college dorms, where people are doing things I'm not speaking about on air and playing those games for sessions for 8 hours a day. So talk about that and how it's going to make its way into video games and how they're going to make that, but also what you see happening in the next couple of years and the future of the space.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I still have my Xbox 360, has some dust on it somewhere. But anybody that wants these hands in NCAA 14 can always get it. What a great game. Spent a lot of hours playing that and dreaming of potentially being a college football player, and golly, lucky that it all worked out. But yeah, I think that's right. I think the new video game, NCAA 24, I believe it is going to be absolutely groundbreaking. We are handling and negotiating a lot of the royalty payments for the players that are involved.
That's big time. I know it sounds crazy, but you're talking how many players in the game? In the thousands?
There's going to be thousands of players. And, you know, the great thing is we're going to be able to leverage our rights and our roster of players. We have 85 plus schools now and 10,000 plus athletes, and we're going to be able to ensure the fair market value and for the usage of these marks, the logos, and their name, image, and likeness in this game. We're super excited about it. It's going to be an awesome experience. It's going to open up a lot of doors for student athletes to activate.
Mostly a curiosity question, but if you had someone in their college rights and they're now either in the pros or not playing anymore, but their name that has the ability to come back into the NCAA 24 game, will that be they'll have those rights available to them?
So we do work with former athletes a lot of times. We actually just did an activation with a great company called Fanbox that we're offering to a lot of schools and collectives across the country at North Carolina with Tyler Hansbrough, who's been absolutely great doing that with him, doing it with Luke May, who are obviously Tar Heel greats. But I think that's a possibility for sure. I'm not so sure how they'll be implemented in the game, but we certainly do work with former athletes. But kind of back to your point, Nick, of talking about what I'm seeing in the future, things are going to change. Obviously, we're still in on ground zero technically of NIL, and you're seeing a lot of people gain this level of comfort and trust with student athletes, and it's paying off, right? They're seeing actual returns that are measured, that are calculated, that they say this is worth the amount of money we spent on these athletes for what we got. And then others are still a little bit skeptical. They're still a little bit hesitant to get involved. But there's going to be some sort of regulation that comes on, whether it's from the government side as far as actual legislation being passed, or the NCAA or whatever governing body is going to be around in the next couple of years.
My gut tells me it's not going to be the NCAA. I think they botched this for so long that their credibility is lost in the space. I don't envision them being that. You know, does it become the SEC maybe? Does it become something that is extended from the marketing partners that the onus is on them? I agree. I just don't see the NCAA after fighting this for so long.
With the new president, we'll see, but he's got an uphill battle.
They're going to have to eat a lot of crow, man. I don't know the NCAA to eat much crow. They're going to have to eat crow and admit that they were wrong this whole time to be the ones to come in and regulate. There's just so much hypocrisy that I don't want to put it past.
No, I
wouldn't put
you.
It past them, but
no. I mean, the previous president put them where they are, and so it's. Yeah. I agree. I don't know if he'll be able to turn back time.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, and this happens in all industries, is maybe just taxing it, and maybe the ledger system of how they keep track of it. Because the other thing is, what you don't want to see happen is this start being under the table money that's not classified, that they're not paying taxes on it. Because that was how this got murky in the first place, right? You know, I went to the University of Maryland. There were some really good football and basketball players there. Some kids that I knew, parents were from the worst parts of town, and were pulling up in brand new Land Rovers. Like, this has existed forever. But the more it's under the table, the more murky the waters get, and the worse it is for the students. So there's got to be some way to track it, keep track of it, a public system that you can see it and you have to disclose things. I think that's more where it goes.
Yeah, and I think that we have strategically aligned with groups like Icon Source and Drew Butler, who's a former Georgia Bulldog, that help us ensure the compliance, help us do the tax returns for these athletes and ensure that, they're meeting the regulations so they don't meet the IRS. Instead, it's not going to be the NCAA, I promise. Yeah. NCAA has lost all jurisdiction over these student athletes. Yeah, they're not coming and looking for it. But the IRS's, and those are, you know, that's
especially with those 80,000 plus agents they just hired, and you would think that's that, that's a space, that's the best place to be in unregulated spaces, right? So, yeah, I think that makes sense. And are you guys, obviously, you're working to help that, right? Because you're keeping that ledger for them. Does any of that responsibility fall on you guys? Are you doing tax forms for people, or is that really on the student athlete to go in and make sure they do their tax return the right way?
When a student athlete opts into our GLA, which is Group Licensing Agreement, we ensure that they have a full understanding and capability to handle their tax returns, to handle all of the things that come with getting paid to do an activation, that from start to finish. Right. We work for the athletes. A lot of us are and were former student athletes. So, you know, we understand and that's our mission, right? We're our mission is to ensure the fair market value on these activations for student athletes. And, you know, once they finish the deal, they're not done with us, right? We want to help them achieve the ultimate version of themselves on and off the playing field.
Yeah, and I think so, what you talked about is really important, because one thing about the players and just people with the players, the perception is these are still college kids and they could still get into trouble. And one of the things I couldn't imagine happening was after you just signed this huge deal, you find out that they're evading taxes. Like, that could not be good for your brand ambassador or many other things.
For anybody.
You know, I know Kirby puts these kids in a position that they're in front of a microphone from when they're 18 years old and they learn. I bet you guys had classes on to learn what to say, what not to say, because it is relatively robotic. But anyway, so I think that what you offer in that sense, where you have the experience to coach these kids on how to not make the mistakes and how to pick the kids least likely to make mistakes, will mitigate a lot of the concerns that advertisers have. Because I'm in this space all the time. I'm talking to hundreds and hundreds of clients, and that is the biggest concern, that what if I pick a kid who does something wrong? Where do we go from there?
And so, I think that's a really critical point for the businesses. And, you know, when we come back from the break here, maybe we'll dive into that a little bit of how the businesses can think about this and how you work with them as well, because there are those risks. And how do you make sure the money you're investing doesn't go south? Yeah. Right, because you either picked the wrong person or you didn't pick the right company.
Yeah,
to work
and again,
with.
That's what happened first. DJ was a great example.
Yeah, so we are the Marketing Mad Men. We're here with John Staton, and we will be back right after the break.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to the Marketing Mad Men on Extra 106.3 FM.
Before we recap what we've covered over the past two episodes, I'd like to let listeners know that if you enjoy this content, there's plenty more of it on the web or via your favorite podcast provider. Simply head to thepodcastpark.com or Google The Marketing Mad Men for previous episodes. Listen, subscribe, and follow us on LinkedIn or Facebook. And most importantly, tell a friend, as that is the easiest way to help ensure the success of your favorite shows. It has been an amazing run for the Georgia Bulldogs, and I am excited to see the new marketing opportunities that present themselves in the near future. Watching a local team, especially one of this prominence, win like they have, and what it's going to create, and the fan base and the passion, really is going to be an awesome thing. I'm very excited to see where it leads, and very excited to see what marketers do to kind of capitalize on that success, as ultimately that's what the smart ones will do. It's going to get more expensive, we know that, but if you're smart and you're clever in how you go about things, I think the opportunity to touch and really engage with people on an emotional level is just an unbelievable opportunity. When done correctly, sports marketing is an easy way to connect with those potential customers on a deeply personal and emotional level. It's also relatively expensive and requires a lot more advanced planning and marketing than other traditional media forms. As you go through this, there's a couple important things here as to why you're doing your marketing. That is what's most important. Why are you doing your marketing? What are you trying to execute? What is the plan? What metrics are you trying to see go up? Are you trying to increase sales? Are you trying to increase engagement? One of the biggest concerns and problems we see is people sometimes just do this because it's their favorite team. And while if it is your favorite team, you probably believe you have emotional understanding and connection, sometimes doing it that way is the wrong way because you're not focusing on what you expect to grow and how it could capitalize on your business. So again, make sure you have a plan. Don't just do it because you're a fan on the team of the team. Make sure you know what you're trying to accomplish. Are you trying to drive direct sales? You're probably in the wrong place. It's very hard to translate a sponsorship or a stadium sponsorship or a sign in the outfield to direct sales. It's incredibly hard to do because what's the call to action? In that message, you're not saying buy this here. You're simply saying we are affiliated with this team. However, are you trying to increase brand awareness? That is an easy way to do it. Can't tell you how many times I've had people that simply want to make sure that people know they're out there and know that advertising within their favorite sports teams or the Super Bowl or any of these things are a great way to get your brand out there. Are you trying to increase the value proposition of your goods or your services? If so, what better way? All of a sudden now, because the consumer sees you as the sponsor of a big team or the local team or the home team or the high school, all of a sudden that raises the value proposition in their head. So maybe you can charge more. Maybe you can charge what you believe is fair market value when you haven't been in the past. All these things are all things to think about. What are the key metrics that you're trying to drive? Again, is that engagement? Is it simply impressions? Just get it out on as many people as possible. Is it average unit price? Is it average price per consumer? You have to have these things in mind. Which of these things are you trying to raise? And you need to lead on your partners and make it clear. These are the things you're trying to accomplish. A promotional night might work. A bounce back might work. One of the things we've had the most success with is simply doing an offer. If the Braves hit 4 home runs in the game, you get $400 off. Those things are really good. Now, when you talk about those kind of promotions, what's important is it has to be a real offer. Okay, it has to be a real offer, which means you have to sink the cost of the good and the discount into what you believe to be your perceived marketing value. You can't just sit there and offer $100 off if every Tuesday they can get $100 off. It just is not a real promotion and it will not drive sales the way you want to. And you're not really capitalizing on the rights and the sponsorship the right way. Are you activating your sponsorship beyond the walls of the stadium? This is really important. The biggest flaw we saw in the first 5, 10, even 15 years of sports marketing is they took that money, they spent it on the sponsorship, and that was the end of it. The problem with that is a couple things. One, you're with one of a lot of sponsors. How is your message standing out? Two, you're not capitalizing on what the value of the sponsorship is, which is your media rights, which is your use of the logos and the intellectual property. So activation be as simply as running a radio campaign that activates that same messaging to let people know you own those rights. But it's also content strategy. Do you have the right to use content from the team? Do you have the right to put your logo on there to build the association? Those are all really important parts of why you do sponsorship. If you lean on the partner, that is one way to accomplish it. But more importantly, engage your staff. Your staff is probably so excited to be doing a sports sponsorship because if it's your favorite team, it's probably theirs. They're probably so excited that they'd be thrilled to build a content strategy, to be a part of it, to get down to the stadiums. Don't just use the tickets. Don't just smile at seeing your billboard out there in the outfield. Use the resources in which you have to make sure you are activating and taking advantage of the full value of that sponsorship. The last tip for that is probably most important. Do you understand the terms of your contract? Are you allowed to use the marks? Can you use them in other forms of media? Are you exclusive in your category? These are all things, and I'm bringing them up now because I've seen them all go horribly wrong. I've read a lot of contracts of intellectual property. They are wordy. They are ambiguous. They are all the things in which lawyers are there to do to make sure that is in the advantage of a party. Make sure you are reading the contracts, that you're going over the contracts, that you understand all of those things. If you have any questions, ask. One of the things that I constantly see popping up is with legal approval. Well, that might be a no. It might take 3 months to get legal approval. Vet those things out in advance. These are all ways that you can maximize your sponsorship. And again, you are spending a good chunk of change to do these sponsorships. You absolutely should take advantage. So that's sports marketing in a nutshell. I'm glad that we were able to talk about UGA because I think it's topical and it's honestly an awesome thing to be able to celebrate. But ultimately, the value of sports marketing cannot be understated. I think personally that sports is a net positive in every situation. Gets kids off the streets. It gives them commitment. It gives them all of these things. And when you get into that stadium, your politics don't matter. Where you came from doesn't matter. How much money you have doesn't matter. What matters is you are rooting for that team. The Atlanta Braves are a great example. College football is a great example. But think about hometown communities and everyone rallying together around the high school football team, especially when they win and getting behind that. All these different ways to use sports marketing to your advantage are an unbelievably powerful tool if you know how to use them right. And in this instance, this two-episode part hopefully teaches you how to use them right. This has been great, Trip. Glad we can do it. Again, thank you to John Staton and to Hudson Mason for helping us execute this. And don't forget to listen to the Marketing Madmen every Saturday at 3 p.m. or download it via your favorite podcast provider. If you go online and you search the Marketing Madmen, you'll find archives of old episodes, lots of opportunities to engage with us, and lots of other ways to play with the content that we have created. We do this for a reason. We think there's an opportunity here to market and to talk about marketing, especially on a local and regional level. We hope that you join us. Talk soon. Thanks. You have been listening to a special two-part episode of the Marketing Madmen on the University of Georgia football's back-to-back national championships and how savvy marketers can capitalize on the success of local teams. Trip Jobe and I would like to thank former UGA quarterback under Mark Rick and current radio host Hudson Mason and former UGA linebacker under Kirby Smart and NIL expert John Staton for their insights and personal stories about the program.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.